This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
So with the brachas we're talking about, we're starting with the Birkas HaShachar, and the first bracha is Al Netilas Yadayim. So let's have a little bit, let's understand a little bit about the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim from some of the halachas of Al Netilas Yadayim. So the first thing that's interesting with the Birkas HaMitzvah is what are we blessing the Ribbono Shel Olam? In what way are we connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam's abundance? As we said, bracha was from Breichel, that the Ribbono Shel Olam has a source of abundance. We experience that abundance, we connect to that reservoir of energy in two different ways. The one way that we connect to it is through the benefits of the world, when we have hanor from the world, when we eat food or whatever kind of benefit we have from the world, we're tapping into Hashem's energy. You eat something delicious, you're tapping into Hashem's energy. Hashem created that. You experience something, you smell a beautiful fragrance, or you see something, you use something. All those cases, we're actually tapping in, we're connecting to Hashem's energy, to Hashem's source of energy. And that's a Birkas HaNe'anim. That's when we say a Birkas HaNe'anim. The Brocha is what connects in a way. It's similar to what we were just talking about in the Gemara, that the Limudim, the Shlosh Esrei Midos, connect the Torah Shebaal Peh to the divine origin. So a Brocha connects the physical universe to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when we have pleasure from the world, we're experiencing something of that bereicha, of that brocha, some of that blessing of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's what a Birkas HaNe'anim is. What about a Birkas HaMitzvah? That's the second way that we can connect to Hashem. And there we connect to Hashem by the means of the mitzvah. So if we think of that circuit theory, really these two are the two ways. One is universal. Every human being can access Hashem through getting pleasure from the world. And every human being can attribute that to Hashem, even though they don't actually make a brocha. Even a non-Jew can get pleasure, and they do make brochas. They say grace. They have lots and lots of civilizations have some form of brocha, where when they get something of blessing, when they get something from the world, they attribute it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the one way you can connect to the divine origin of the divine source of energy is through the energy that Hashem bestowed into the world. So if you're able to, when you eat that apple, or you have that delicious fruit, or you eat that piece of bread, by saying the brocha, you're actually accessing the kedusha that the Ribbono Shel Olam infused into nature and into the world, which you're now benefiting from and connecting from. So you're being energized by God's energy through the thing that you're ne'eneh from. The other is a Birkas HaMitzvah. A Birkas HaMitzvah works the other way around. There you're taking God's energy and you're putting it into the world. That's what a Birkas HaMitzvah is. So, and that we do through the power of mitzvah. Hashem gives us a mitzvah. When we fulfill that mitzvah, we're connecting to God's will. We're taking God's will and we're translating it into action. And with that action, we're transmitting that energy into the world. That's what a mitzvah is. So the main part of a bracha, the Birkas HaMitzvah, is the first part, where we say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, asher kedushonu b'mitzvasav. That's the bracha. We thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, you've given us kedusha through your mitzvahs. So the Birkas HaNe'anim is, you've given us hanor, you've given us pleasure, and we're benefiting from your act of bria. So the two ways we experience God is bria and mitzvah. Those are the two ways the human being can experience God. It's the only way. Through God's mitzvah and through God's bria. Through God's bria are the things God created. So through the universe we're able to experience God. The other way is through Hashem's rotzen, through His will. That's mitzvah. When Hashem gives us a mitzvah to do, we perform that mitzvah, we're aligning ourselves with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and in that alignment we have a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So those are our two connections. And the two types of brochas deal with those two connections. Birkas HaNe'anim deals with our connection to God through Bria, and that's why we say, Shakol Ni'ebidvoroi, or Borei Pri Ha'etz, Borei Pri Ha'adomo, we're connecting to God's Bria. And in the case of mitzvah, we're connecting Asher Kedushonu, you've given us sanctity. And the method, the form of the sanctity is Asher Kedushonu v'mitzvah Yisov v'tzivonu. Those are the two forms of connection. And then the last part of the bracha is just that specific one. So it's Hashem Kedoshonu b'mitzvaysof. That's a bracha we should kind of say in our minds all day. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hashem Kedoshonu b'mitzvaysof. You've made us special with your mitzvahs. But the mitzvahs have to come into action. It's not just a theoretical thing of thanking Hashem for giving us mitzvahs. It's Hashem Kedoshonu b'mitzvaysof. V'tzivonu, and in fact you told me to do what I'm just about to do. And in what I'm about to do, I'm going to connect to you through that action. And in the case of the first bracha, that's al netilas yadayim. You gave me a mitzvah of netilas yadayim. I'm doing netilas yadayim, and therefore by doing netilas yadayim, apart from the benefits of netilas yadayim, which we'll talk about, there's another benefit, which is I'm connecting to God just by doing your will. That's a connection. So, and you have it at the same, thanks much, the same as you've got in Ben Adam Chaveru. If a person that you care about needs you to do something or wants you to do something, when you do that thing, you're creating a bond. You're connecting to that person, quite apart from the benefits of the thing that you've done. Maybe the person even wants you to do something for your own good. So a father says, a parent says to a child, I want you to go to school. The child goes to school. The child benefits from the school, but the child also benefits from being mekayem the rotzon of the parent, and therefore bonding better with the parent. So Hashem Kedoshonu b'mitzvaysof v'tzivonu on netilas yadayim. There are two things happening. There's the maise of netilas yadayim, which we will learn about, and that's all the halachas of netilas yadayim. How do we benefit from the action of netilas yadayim? By knowing the halachas, because in all of the halachas we'll learn all the different aspects of what this action is, what we're meant to be doing, how you're meant to be doing it, what you're meant to be feeling when you're meant to be doing it. But there's another element as well, which is just Hashem Kedoshonu b'mitzvaysof v'tzivonu al netilas yadayim. In that way, it's almost two things. There's the action. So let's say you do netilas yadayim without the bracha. You've still done netilas yadayim. It's not, you don't have to do netilas yadayim again. You've still done netilas yadayim. You haven't said the bracha. So that connection to Hashem is a little bit faulty. You haven't made the connection, but the benefits of the Netilas Yadayim you've done. You're going to get those benefits. The bracha stands on its own. And it's almost as if the doing of the Netilas Yadayim facilitates the bracha. It's not just that the bracha facilitates the Netilas Yadayim. You can do Netilas, if you look at which is the cause and which is the effect, it's the action which allows you to do the bracha. Now we often do it very wrong. We often get very wrapped up in the action. And the bracha we mumble, just like a routine thing, not realizing, in fact, that the bracha is the main part. The action makes it possible to say the bracha of Hashem Kedoshonu b'mitzvaysof v'tzivonu al netilas yadayim. And then you've got to do something. If you don't do something, the bracha is a bracha lavatola. But so you've got to do something in order to give meaning to the bracha, but the bracha is the main thing. So we need to put a lot of attention in the bracha, and a lot of meaning, a lot of intention, and a lot of attention into the bracha. With what? Yeah, right. So how do you link it to this? Yes? Give me bracha.
Something about the non-Jewish way of accessing Hashem is just witnessing it from the first Rama. And he says, when you say Abbas Hashem, you look at the Bria.
Yeah, so that's universal, that anybody can look at the Bria. Accessing God through the Bria, anybody can do. Accessing the God through mitzvah, only the Jew can do. And that's the Birkas HaMitzvah. So what is the mitzvah of Al-Netilas Yadayim? So there are two reasons that are brought for Netilas Yadayim. The one is that there's a Ruach HaTuma on the Yadayim. Now we don't know what Ruach HaTuma is, other than that there's some negative force. If you can think of the hands almost as the transmitters of energy, because that's part of the way we express ourselves with our hands. We express ourselves with our face, we express ourselves with our hands. Hands become an important way that we put energy. We touch things, it's our interface with the world is with our hands. And during the night time, there's a sophic in the Gemara as to whether in the poskim, whether it's the night that causes the negative energy or the sleeping. Nighttime itself, there's something negative about nighttime itself. The lack of clarity, the darkness, the shadow creates a negative force. And sleep creates a negative force because we're not conscious and not in control of ourselves. And when we awaken and daytime comes, some of that remains with us. And the area that it seems to remain on are the extremities. It's almost as if it kind of moves out of the body to the hands and stops there. You've actually got to get it off the hands. But then the interesting thing is it appears that the purpose of the washing is not to get the ruach. You don't wash the ruach hatumah off. That's not the purpose, that you wash the ruach hatumah off. And the proof of that is at the end of the Mogen Avraham that Mr. Brewer brings, where he says the correct position to hold your hands when you're washing them is not downwards, it's upwards. So you're supposed to hold your hands this way and pour the water over. Now if you're washing Ruach HaTumah off, you would think you hold your hands down and you pour the water so as to wash the Ruach HaTumah off. Why would you wash them this way? And the Loshon of the Magen Avraham is different. Kemisha Roitze Lekabel Dover, as if you're about to receive. So that gives us a whole understanding of what's happening with Metilas Yadayim. It's not that we're washing Ruach HaTumah off. You can't wash Ruach HaTumah off. That's the bad news, is you can't wash Ruach HaTumah off. It doesn't react to water. So how does this work? This works, you being Mekabel, you displace the Tumah with something new that you acquire. And the water symbolizes or is the refreshing energy that you apply to your hand, which pushes the Ruach HaTumah out. But you've got to be Mekabel. So the starting off, what you start off is not washing something off yourself, it's renewing yourself, taking something into yourself. Water is about refreshment. The water here is not water of cleansing. It's water of refreshing, it's a water of chayus. That's why the Rashbol says that it's Briya Chadosh, it's as if you're created because you're created with a new being. So it's the like you say in the morning, it's the booting up process. When you turn when you put the water on, you're actually booting up, you're actually being Mekabel, a source of energy. Water represents that pure energy that comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam that displaces the Ruach HaTumah, and that's why you've got to hold your hands on upwards Kemisha Mekabel Dover. So you wash your hand like that, yeah, not like that. That's what it says. Okay, interesting. Most people assume that you're washing it downwards because you're washing something off. You're not washing something off. You're taking something in which displaces the negative that you want to get rid of.
And then,
not like the grow with what?
The grow is four times.
Because the fourth time washes off the water. So with the fourth time you might say, according to the grow, then maybe the fourth time you should actually hold down.
Yeah.
Maybe the first four you should hold up, and the fourth time you should hold down, which would make a lot of sense as to why you need a fourth time. Because when you do it like this, the water stays there. It doesn't necessarily think so. The grow, you've got to do it one more time to get rid of the water. What there is to it, you are washing off Tumah. The question is, what is the process? Not the washing off, you're getting rid of Tumah. You're getting rid of Ruach HaTumah. But the way you're getting rid of Ruach HaTumah is by being Mekabel, by taking on Kedusha. What are the methods of getting rid of Tumah? What's the most important method apart from Mikveh? And Mikveh itself is not really a washing off, it's an immersion, but what is the thing? Torah. We say that learning, that one of the ways to get rid of Tumah is from Torah. So what's happening with Torah? What are you washing off? You're taking in. If you can take in Kedusha, and by taking in Kedusha, you displace Tumah. That's the way to get rid of Tumah, is to displace. It's not to empty yourself out. I mean, we don't empty out. We fill ourselves up with Kedusha by filling ourselves up. Kedusha and Tumah are Zeh Keneged Zeh. Where there's no Kedusha, there's Tumah. There's no such thing as a vacuum. So the only way to get rid of Tumah is to increase Kedusha. And water represents that Kedusha and that Tahara. Or the only way to get rid of Tumah is to increase Tahara. So you Mekabel Tahara, you accept purity. And that's what you should have in your mind when you're doing Negevasa. I'm accepting purity. By accepting purity, you're removing impurities. And that refreshes it. Says the Vilna. But then the last drips of water are all contaminated, so that you need to wash off. So the point of the Vilna Gaon that you need to do it the fourth time is for washing off. It's for washing off the water.
Negevasa,
yeah, we're talking about Negevasa. This is talking about Negevasa. This is talking specifically about Negevasa.
So you're saying for washing for bread, you wouldn't necessarily have to do
that? But for washing for bread, maybe not. There might be different dinner. I'm not sure. We'll have to actually look at it. I just saw this recently and noticed this recently that there is this. That's the way to do it. And why is that the way to do it? I'm not sure whether the dinner is given dafka for negavasa and not for other forms of washing. But certainly it's stated in Hilchos Negavasa.
Washing is at the time when you're washing, because afterwards you meant to lift your hands to prevent the water from. going toward the fingertips. This is talking about death at the time.
Yeah, well, then you wouldn't have to turn your hands around. And that does it. You wash it that way. And that would be... Where does it say that you're supposed to turn your hands?
I was under the impression for a while that when once you've washed, you're meant to lift your hands so that the water runs, so that you don't have... I think it says that water might touch an area of the top part of your palm, which is tummy, and then roll down into your hand, and you've now reversed the process.
Right. This one is mashmah, that's how you wash? That's how you wash. Be'agbeim keneged harosh. That you should hold them up to the hand, towards the head, and that's the way you wash.
Sorry, I'm going to ask a question. When you first get up in the morning, by the bed, you should make a bracha then?
No, you make the bracha a little bit later.
Right.
But the bracha that you're making is for that mitzvah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you make it a little bit later, but you're making it for that mitzvah. That's what you're actually making it for. So let's see if the wording is different here. Yeah, he actually says that the Be'er Heitev actually says it in that lashon. Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah says k'mi shiroitza lekabel dover, as if one is acquiring something. In the Be'er Heitev, it's brought the tzorich lifshut hakapas lekabel ataro k'mi shiroitza lekabel tzorich lifshut hakapas lekabel hataro. That you've actually got to do it to be mekabel taro. That's the way you hold your hands to be. So that he actually says it quite clearly. I didn't even see that in the Be'er Heitev. Actually says you're being mekabel taro. That's the way we get rid of tumah. So there's a whole limud in that in the methodology of removing tumah. The methodology of removing tumah is to be mekabel taro. That's how we do it.
But taro is not a part of the state.
Taro is not a part of the state. There is no part of the state.
Right.
When you're not in the state of taro,
I'm not tamei, then I'm taro, but that's just.
No, it's like digital. You're in a positive taro. It's a state of purity, which is different from tumah. Now it's interesting. What gives it the taro? What actually gives that water the power to be matara? So to one degree, the water itself has an element of taro. What else gives it the power of taro? Would be probably the koach gavro. That's why a human being. That's why you have to actually do it. So there's got to be intention and kavon in that as well. So that there's a force. So what is giving it that taro? Your thought process. You can't just dip your hands into water, and you can't just even holding it under a running tap isn't the same thing. So koach gavro seems to give your own mind. Puts a purity into the water, which you then throw over your hand. It's almost the power of your mind. Although it's your own body which has the tumor, your own mind, through its linkage to the Ribbono Shel Olam and its intention, can instill a certain taro into the water, which you then, through your action, so it's the human energy of actually pouring it over your hand that does it. Without that, it's difficult, even though it's not Michael Bidia.
It's a very comparable process.
Why? How
should it?
Yeah, okay. The idea of the shechita, you need kavana and you need kedusha and you need also the same with the writing of Sefer Torah. It's not just about getting the outcome. You can't use a machine to do these things. The kedusha is given by human intention. There's no other way. So where does the kedusha come from? It's again, it's that circuitry. Kedusha comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if you're doing a mitzvah, the power comes from Hashem, and now you're doing the mitzvah. What is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is for my one hand to wash the other hand. It's not for my hands to be washed. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is for my one hand to wash the other hand. That's what the mitzvah is. And we do that mitzvah three times. The maisa mitzvah is the washing of the hand, the koach gavra that's there. On the question of brochus, there's a little piece in the Mishnah Berurah about the kavonah for brochus. And he says... one has to have kavona with a brocha, as the Gemara says, "Shelo yizroi kabrocha mipiv." Don't throw a brocha out. Ela yechavin beis ha'amira v'yavarech benachas. But have kavona and say a brocha gently. Just say it Give it a moment. And he brings the Sefer HaChassidim, who says, "Kshuhu noitel yodov ishemavorech on apeiros." When a person doesn't tilas yadayim or makes a bracha on fruit or on a mitzvah, hashiguros b'fi kol adam, a bracha which everybody knows by heart and says it dozens of times, yechavein libo l'shem boiro, asher hifli chastoyimoy v'nosam le'apeiros or halechem lehenos mehem b'tzivo ala mitzvahs. To actually relate to Hashem's chesed for giving him the benefit of that thing which you're enjoying from or from the mitzvahs. Not to do it automatically. And to say it without higoyim. It's interesting again the connection between a birchas hanenim and a birchas hamitzvahs. The whole idea to say a bracha for a mitzvah. Why would one, if not for the reason I've explained, why would one thank somebody for a mitzvah? You go in there and thank Congress for enacting laws. And I'm not talking about the laws that protect you. That you can understand, that Congress made a law that you shouldn't murder and you shouldn't rob. Yeah, thanks for making the laws and for enforcing the laws. We appreciate it. But when they make laws that obligate us, thanks for making laws that we've got to pay taxes. Don't say every time you pay tax, Baruch, I say, write a letter of thanks to Congress. We don't do that. So what's our Sheikh the Shomer B'mitzvah Yisrael? If it's not that there is immediate tangible benefit in the Kiyum Rotzon Hashem, that you're actually, like a Birkas HaNenim, you're actually feeling the power of connectedness to Hashem when we say a mitzvah. That's what we've somehow got to connect into when we say a bracha.
So the matter is the essence of the bracha.
The connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would be with Birkas Hashvach and Birkas Hanene.
Because it's in the bracha. The whole thing doesn't function unless it's a symbiotic relationship.
But where would you have that in Tzivui? Why is tzivui mechayev recognition from us? So you understand tzivui is mechayev obedience. Hashem says we must do, but to create a brocha which is similar to birkas hanenim, where you're giving brocha to the Ribbono Shalom, it has to be that you feel the benefit. It's not just that Hashem says so there must be benefit. It actually has to be that you feel, just as when you eat something, you're able to feel not only the physical energy that comes from it, but also the spiritual energy. So with a mitzvah, it's important that you feel something tangible, you feel a tangible benefit in that mitzvah through your connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam for which you're saying the bracha. Otherwise, it's difficult to know what are you being mevarech for. It's a tzivui. You wouldn't normally say a bracha for a tzivui if it was just an instruction. That's not just an instruction. That's our way of connecting. We have two ways of connecting. Through Hanoah from the Bria, we can connect to God through the universe. We can connect to God through the halachas of the mitzvahs. Those are the ways we can connect. One is universal, one is specific to us. We'll leave it there. Next week, Yemetz Hashem, we'll get into the bracha of Elokai and the Shomo. No, Asher Yotzo will do first. The bracha of Asher Yotzo. Which is, again, a bracha that we say many times a day and we have to have the right kavanas for.